You heard the gossiping, you checked the rumors out, you started wondering what the heck it's all about. This thing called Hakapali, how on earth is that pronounced? Fins are what it's all about. Beyond Valor had some fins back when it first came out. In fighting withdrawal, they chased the Ruskies out. Are they overpowered? We will never quite find out till Hakapali's out. Hakapali's job's to flush the Finnish out, and the three winter wars, and what CCs are about. Historical Hakapali is the 14th module. ASL's what it's all about. Said Finns or Italians when I pulled the counters out. It's a gray area, so I checked the forums out. It seems in Hakapali, a new color can't be found. Do I toss the old blue Finns out? When AFV's rushing to throw the cultists out. Because I'm sledding, not dancing, I found out. These toys in Hakapali, like the fan sleds to get about, are what it's all about. You turned your playtests in, you filled the forms all out. That was decades ago, getting printed is in doubt. I want the Hakapali, MMP, please put it out and end the ASL drought. You put your order in, you took your wallet out, you put your card number in, and printed the receipt out. You pre-ordered Hakapali, and in a day or thereabout, levels reached, MMP did tout. At Winter Offensive, some great news did get out. Chess did some Facebook in, and he got the updates out. He did some hocus pocus, and he got the module out. It's finished and finally out. Let's order Hakapali. Let's order Hakapali.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Two Half Squads. I'm Jeff.
And I'm Dave.
And that, hi, Dave. It's good to see you.
Good to see you, Jeff.
Oh, there he is.
We fooled you all. I'm over here. That was Mike. You guys are so easily fooled. And it's not even April Fool's. No, instead, what day is it, everyone?
Eclipse Day.
Eclipse Day. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I knew there was something important that went on today. That was kind of a fun day, Eclipse Day.
Yeah, so how was your eclipse, Mike?
It was fine.
This is Mike Rizzi, noted Chicago War gamer.
That's right.
And this is the Two Half Squads, the one and only podcast dedicated 100% in the world to 100% to the greatest game in the world, Advanced Squad Leader.
Advanced Squad Leader.
Sit back, relax. For the next hour, we will control your environment. We're going to the Outer Limits. And today it was like the Outer Limits. It was pretty spectacular. I didn't know what to expect.
What'd really. You think, Mike?
It was eerie for a moment. But only a moment because we were off center a bit, right? So we didn't get the total effect, but it was enough. Some of our neighbors actually said they felt a little nauseous. So
really?
Yeah.
From what?
Double gravity.
Yeah.
Really?
Tidal effects.
Tidal effects. Brain swelling. Alien germs.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, that's a little much. I didn't feel that. Of course, I had a glass of scotch with mine. So we had the eclipse around here. It came into 94%. We got 94%. And that's not good enough for you. Is that right, Mike? 94% is not good enough.
That's right.
Boy, you are tough. This is a tough crowd.
It's an A-minus, right?
That's true. Yeah. Like that. At 207 was the as close as we got to totality.
Yes.
I was expecting the whole thing to be faster.
Mm-hmm. It was long.
Yeah.
And what's interesting, what I thought was interesting is that you get to the maximum 94% or for the people that saw totality And then it's not over. You don't go home.
Right.
Because it slowly then
works its way
yes. the other way. So you can sit there and have another drink if you're doing that.
Yes. Yep.
What'd you do, Dave?
So we were going to, as I texted at the last minute, hey, we might cancel the show tonight. And I'll get to Toledo, Ohio and see it at Graham's house and stay overnight and drive home tomorrow. 4.5 hours. And then we were worried about the traffic and the weather. So we monitored it all the time. Checking the traffic, the weather. Traffic was only like half an hour longer.
Oh.
But partly cloudy was enough to say. We just called it. You had to look at it. Either way is good. If I stay here, I'll see it here. There'll be a partial. And we can go out on the kayaks and see it out on the lake to start, drive home. Some neighbors walking by came by, sat with us, one of them, and then we get to record.
Yeah.
So
it turned out good.
Until my grandma just sent my mother-in-law just sent an email. What was the heading on
that? Spectacular.
Spectacular. You missed it. The skies were clear.
Oh, you really missed it.
Life-changing. We're all 50 years younger here now. It was a miracle.
If we missed that on superpowers, there's going to be.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Yes.
That would be bad.
That's a good point.
They said that you should watch the animals. It said be careful because your dogs might become confused or your cat might get surly.
Right.
Well, ours didn't get dark enough to have a full effect, but it got dimmer and I took two photos, one at 94% and mm-hmm. one at normal sun, and they are both different.
Yeah.
So definitely, and it got colder.
So right? That's proof that it actually occurred.
Well, yeah. And our birds were about the same, I thought.
Our dog is always surly, as Jeff attests. We couldn't,
You couldn't tell.
Couldn't tell.
Hardly interesting. Let's get on to interesting stuff like Advanced Squad Leader.
Like I went to Europe, and so I won't, Amsterdam, art museums, people on bicycles everywhere. If you haven't been there, it's insane. And then I was trying to, as I told you, I was trying to step off the curb and yield to them, but I don't yield to them. Pedestrians have the right of way. Mm-hmm. So as I start to step off, she slows down. There's like 8 cyclists behind her coming all around this corner, just not related, just all going to work or to the store. And then she starts to slow and they slow. And then I step back, being like, I got to yield. And then Laura steps forward I step forward with her. That's right. We have right of way. So we step forward and then they slow down again. And then I just grab Laura and push her back. We step back and then she speeds up again. She goes by me and says, "You have right of way. Don't doubt." And so that was saying, stop being wishy-washy. Just walk across the street.
Well, that's because you were born in indecisive Vienna.
Yeah.
Gary, indecisive Vienna.
I don't trust any vehicle coming toward me.
Yeah. I at U of I, when I went there many years ago, bicycling was a huge thing for the get around campus, and I was hit twice, so I'm not sure. Yes. Now the people weren't going that fast, and when I saw them, one of them I saw coming, so I kind of leaned into him and twice. Neither one was serious.
Okay.
But it makes me very skittish about that stuff.
Yeah.
So I need to be careful when I go to Europe.
Right.
Well, we had also then hit Berlin. It was pretty standard run for, everyone would know the Holocaust Memorial and the wall and the Reichstag. And I think what was unique was getting to Budapest and then getting to the thing that ASLers care about is the hexes that I went to on the Budapest Festung map. So,
for those of you who are not watching Dave visually, he is holding up a map and pointing at things.
That's right. I'll post some photos. But the Kagwe Railway, so you came in on this tram right down the road, and I saw all these houses that I was defending over here in several scenarios. Walked around the back, got a picture of the white woods back here.
Did you advance into any of the buildings?
I did a lot, yes.
Did you really?
Indeed, yes. Yeah. No, we couldn't go in.
Oh.
They were not doing rides on the railway, which I didn't care about anyway, or hosts were like we're so sad, you can't ride it. I'm like, I don't care about that. I want to walk around here, see all these buildings. And this building is particularly still pocked with bullet holes and shrapnel.
Really?
This is Hex G17. And it is right there by G18, the viaduct. So I went under the viaduct, got a picture there. This is Voros Major Park, all down in here.
Did you try dashing across the street anywhere?
I did, and I got hit by a
cyclist. Hit by a cyclist, yeah. Okay, that's where that happened.
And okay. The infamous tennis courts, J32.
Yes.
Still there today.
It is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's there. These buildings are there. I was a little confused on these buildings in M and X row L, but E was all the same. And then there was larger buildings in other sectors. But
well, that's kind of amazing, really.
Yeah. And our host enjoyed watching me get so into it, going, wait, there should be a building behind this building that's taller because my friend had a machine gun up. Oh, yes, there. He was up there firing his machine gun down, and I had to come down the street through the viaduct and all that. And so they thought it was pretty kind of cool in a way because they were like, so that's real history that happened here. Well, in general, yes. Right?
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yep. Arnhem, Nijmegen, but, you know, I think all of our listeners have been there. Arnhem's all destroyed. Underneath, there's not the same buildings are not there.
Right.
Oh.
You know.
They've redone everything, rebuilt
it. It's empty.
Everything got bombed out.
Yeah, it's empty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Budapest didn't get completely bombed out, but I don't know that much about it. I got to read the book, I guess.
Oh, it did. And the other thing was up on Castle Hill, which I hadn't played any scenarios from there yet, but we went there. They're rebuilding everything and fixing it up, and they have pictures on the side of the chain link fence, you know, holding you back from going in the construction site.
Yeah.
Showing what it looked like in the war and what rendition of what it's going to look like.
Wow.
Which really then matched the way it did look before the war.
Oh, okay. So they're going to
rebuild it the same.
Yeah.
Yep. Putting a lot of money into that. But anywhere you go in Budapest, there's damage all around. All around. You can have one nice hotel, it's redone. In the middle, there's bullet holes all over. And then the next part of the building has been redone. Yeah.
Really?
Just rant anywhere. Anywhere.
That's wild.
I'm thinking like the Soviets didn't put a lot of money into it after they destroyed it and took it over.
Yeah.
I mean, probably. Berlin looked all fixed up.
Yeah. Oh, we're so cute.
I think Budapest is behind in the fix the war damage.
Yeah. I guess so.
Maybe I was in the wrong part of Germany, but
yeah.
This is downtown Budapest.
Yeah.
So, right. All around.
Still, that's pretty cool that you saw the actual buildings that you've played.
Yeah.
Around.
And then got into Spain. My family got me into a gondola, taking me up to a mountaintop in Picos, if anyone's been there. It's a crazy, cool, hiked all over. So Spain was like the hiking, nature hiking part, mostly. And seeing Aaron, my son's places, school. Places, friends that he still has there, met them for meals and things as we went around Valladolid, Orense, and so on. And that's nice.
And your flights there and back, the doors stayed on and all that?
They did stay on.
Engines stayed attached to the planes?
They did.
Did you fly in a Boeing plane?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not that sure, but.
You didn't check?
No.
Yeah.
So was that your first visit to a World War II?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, right. I had done Spain, I did London, Scotland.
But yeah.
Yeah. No
continent. But something where they're at, you know, when you're seeing bullet holes and walls.
First time.
Yeah. So it makes you appreciate the maps, right? You know, I mean, the idea that now you get a sense of those ranges and distances. And, you know, it transforms your ideas about
it.
In a sense, you know, you get an idea of what you're recreating.
Yeah. And thinking like, oh, that's the distance. Oh, yeah. It's 40 meters or something.
Right.
It is about like that building fit about there. And that bridge, I didn't realize was that close. Underpass. In my brain, it was further away. And then I looked at the map again on my phone and back here at home. It is that close.
Yeah.
So I was remembering being in a different building shooting down the road at it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is by that building, things like that. And again, the levels are pretty accurate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, that's higher than that building. And you can visualize the line of sight by drawing your finger through the air, which is, my friend told me, it's illegal. You can't do it on the ASL map. Can't draw your finger across. That's pre-checking. Oh,
that's right.
Yes.
I could draw my finger. Look at that. Right over that building. You can hit those hexes. Oh, yeah, cool.
Got to do that. It's on my list. We should probably take a moment and remember Dean Essig, who passed away recently. Was it last week?
I think it was last week. Yep, that's right. Yeah, because Dave was in Europe.
Yeah, which I actually did not even know. How did you get informed? How were you informed?
On the MMP site. You know, they've been keeping everybody updated.
Oh, okay. I haven't actually been on the site.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know much about Dean other than his name is.
Right. He became associated with MMP later, of course, when he sold, you know, his company, the Gamers, to MMP. But for those of us way back, you know, the Gamers was revolutionary in game design, and for a couple of reasons, right? As from a personality point of view, it was very unique because they were the first company. This was pre-internet, right? Late 80s. You know, his phone number was right on the box. And you would call, you know, with questions and issues as they arose during a game. And, you know, oftentimes they'd pick up the phone when you called. So it was an answering machine too, but, you know, it was unheard of to have somebody, you know, a designer and pick it up, you know, always friendly. And then of course, also the model of the company, you know, you'd call him, you know, you'd call his wife and order the games directly as you were waiting for them to come out.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, you know, from a consumer relations perspective, you know, it was a very unique model, you know, had a big following, I think, in part because of that personal touch.
Yeah.
You know, you felt like you really knew them, even though you might only encounter them if you went to a convention in the 90s, you know, back then. Those were my convention days. So my encounters with them personally were just at the, you know, the booths at Origins or the other war game conventions of the era. But, and I never, you know, even though we're Midwesterners, I never had an opportunity to go to HomerCon, which was, you know, their headquarters was there and they would hold that annual game convention. And a lot of people have fond memories of that. You know, I never got to go. But from a game design perspective, of course, Dean's big thing was that, you know, he incorporated these elements that added that bit of, we would want to say realism to it, almost a role-playing aspect. Like, you know, it's the Civil War Brigade series, of course, is the one that people think of most because you actually write the orders as if you were the general. You know?
Oh, so yes.
That whole idea of, you know, you're limited to what your units are going to do based on the way the orders are sent. Same applies, of course, to the OCS, the operational series, where you actually have to have the supplies in order to make the things move and go, you know. So there's that limitation, you know, we can only keep running these units as far as we have the ability to do so. And the closest ASL would be the battalion series or the tactical combat series, which had battalions and platoons as counters. And so you would have to write on an operation and sort of a tactical operational map, you know, like this is the attack force, this is the security force, these are the defensive forces, you know, you would, as if you were a staff officer who was, planning these operations at a smaller scale.
Right.
So in all of these things, you know, it imbued this sense of doing the job that the person you're sitting in for would be doing, right? You know, whether it's Army general in the Civil War, writing orders, you know, staff officer, you know, planning these little map movements, or, you know, the sort of operational level logistics.
That sounds great. I don't know how it is in execution because I've never played one of those games, but but I love the idea of it.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all, the concept, you know, they were all very, you know, nothing had been done like that before.
Yeah.
So it was, you know,
groundbreaking.
Very groundbreaking. Yes.
And successful.
Yes, exactly.
But they sold to MMP at some point, or MMP acquired them?
At some point, I believe it was around 2000 in that era, as MMP had acquired ASL and, you know, was growing as a company. Dean had a relationship with him and sold the company because he wanted to, you know, running the gamers was a full-time job, let alone becoming, you know, game designer, developing games, all the new systems he wanted to work on. And that, you know, he was able to devote all of his time to game design.
Well, our condolences and to the families. And
yeah, we'll have to play something in his honor at some
point. Yes.
It's time for letters.
Okay. You want to start?
Yes, but first I'd like to thank John Bulla for continued Patreon support and David Hassler, RWDPGH, and Kevin Mellon, Chris Hatch, Retro BB, and Mr. Kirk for subscribing to us on YouTube. Thank you. I have this letter from Alan. In Scotland.
Our good friend Alan, who writes us often, and it's always good to hear from him.
He said, I just looked and saw the new episode is up. Cool. I'll look forward to hearing your opinion of Twilight of the Reich. My copy's on its way to Ali in Kupar, even as we speak. Second Chance Games shipped it the other day. I look forward to hearing your views on the LFT board controversy. I'm not at all sure what it's about. And we did talk about that right before.
A little bit, though we don't know what the controversy exactly was, but
yes.
There was something going on.
No, I don't know the details.
Okay.
It would be absolutely awesome if LFT did more with this board idea and produced their own set, official winter Pacific boards with the new artwork based on MMP boards. You know, I'm always a fan to have more winter boards. Found to be pretty expensive, but I would love it if they would make something like that. I have the latest LFT issue on order from Xavier. I ordered it direct from him before I saw Second Chance Games had it. We haven't paid for it yet, as Xavier said, to wait till he actually has these issues in stock. So it'll be a couple of weeks yet, I think. I enjoyed the last episode with the guys from Advancing Fire. It was very interesting to hear about their projects. Me and the guys are finishing our packing. We're almost ready for Heroes down in Blackpool. That's the tournament there, right? On gaming weekends?
Yes.
Do you know if the rumors I have heard are true in the next ASL journal going to be Twilight of the Reich themed issue? That would be cool. We'll have to wait and see. Well, I guess I best go and make my lunch and let you get on with your day. Signed, Alan. So I don't know. What is the next journal going to be? We don't know.
No. I haven't heard any rumors.
Do we?
But I haven't had my ear to the...
To the ground?
Yes. Is that where you put it?
That's how it's traditional.
Where should I stick my ear? To the ground?
Yes.
Okay.
Jeff, you have a letter there?
I do have a letter here, but before we do that, I just want to say cheers to everybody. Clink and drink.
Cheers.
Drinking out of our little
clink and drink.
And or as they say in Finland,
tussle in the tundra.
Kuppas? Kappas?
Kippers? Kuppas?
Kuppas. Kuppas. I just looked it up.
We were doing meticulous research at this point.
Google left it. Well, cheers.
Cheers.
Good enough.
I've got a letter here from Dan in Vancouver, which is in Canada. So this is an international letter. I'll try to read it in a Canadian accent. No, I won't.
Mm-hmm.
He's writing in regarding the episode with the Advancing Fire guys. And he said, I like their enthusiasm and glad they didn't get discouraged as they went up the learning curve on game publishing. Very excited to hear Brevity Assault is going to be republished because I missed it the first time. Thank you for interviewing them. Of course, they say in Italy, grazie.
You're welcome.
Mike, why don't you take the next letter?
All right. Hey, fellas, please enter me in the contest. We had our West Coast Melee tournament last weekend in Rancho Cucamonga.
Come on. That's not a real place. That's not a real place.
You've never been?
Rancho Cucamonga? Yeah, I've never been. Sorry. And I apologize to everybody from Rancho Cucamonga.
Okay. It was awesome, but I lost all my games.
Oh.
Doesn't matter, though. I always have fun no matter the outcome. One scenario, death at the cement plant, ASLJ 203, actually came down to one last roll of the dice.
Always fun.
Oh, I saw a guy with a two half squads t-shirt.
Oh, yes.
Woo. And no pants.
I don't, why don't I have a two half squads t-shirt?
Because we ran out before you bought one.
All right. They can make more.
Yeah. You could. I'll knit you one.
Yes. Anyway, thanks, guys. I usually listen to the podcast, but I liked the box art review of Twilight of the Reich. It's a cool painting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Although the position of the tank's turret next to some trim on a building's facade looks kind of strange, like it's the gun barrel.
Yes, I noticed it. Well, of course, he pointed it out, and it is true. It's kind of like a subject merger when two things in the photo kind of merge together.
Well, maybe that's just me, but apparently not. Mm-hmm. The song was so good, I ran was totally cool.
And we hope you liked today's song. Do the hakapaki and you turn yourself around. Hakapali. Sorry. Yes.
But hello from Echo Park in LA. Keep up the fine work. And the one who's going to Europe, I hope they have a wonderful time. Sincerely yours in ASL, Robert Barat.
Thanks, Robert. And I Thank did, you, Robert. As you heard, I had a wonderful time. Jeff, you want to take the next one?
You know, that Iran song was funny because you played it for me, and it's been a few years. And Dave said, who's singing? And I said, I was listening to it, and I thought, well, it sounds kind of like Aaron, but he's flat in a couple of spots. I think I'd like to take a whack at it because I think I could do better. Well, and then turns out it was me singing it. I did not know.
Again, no memory of it, right?
Wow.
None whatsoever.
There is something seriously wrong with my brain. Here's a letter from E.T. Yonkins. Once again, I wanted to pass along kudos for the recent shows and interviews. Did you get your kudos?
I did. Thank you.
Okay, well, okay, we'll make sure you got some. I do listen to a lot of the older shows for rules refreshers. I did that too the other day, actually. Found the show where I did a little segment on interdiction to clarify a rule that I had. That was actually
time
useful.
Stamps are on there.
Yeah, that was actually useful. I was wondering if you ever did a show specifically on motorcycles, trucks, wagons, sleds, sledges, or weather in general. To include in ski and include ski use.
I had searched those topics and they didn't pop up in there.
Yeah, really.
Don't have a memory of it, but I don't have a memory of a lot.
Yeah.
Remember, I remember a lot of things I never did, and I don't remember a lot of things I did do.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say.
I heard a good saying the other day. Somebody said, I change my mind all the time and I'm never wrong. I liked the review of Partisan. Part of me thinks rules of Partisan may not be the strongest in the system. Frankly, not all Partisan units probably deserved a 3 firepower, a 3 range, and an underscored 7 morale. Further from what I understand, given a Partisan's lack of fire and noise discipline, I'm not sure they all ought to be stealthy either.
I thought that was kind of a good point, but
yeah, right.
I think the stealthy comes from knowing the local terrain.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Knowing where to hide.
And, but that's a point. Or not, yeah. You know, that's trained troops.
But that's part of the rules that are probably being changed at this time. Also, can we bring back the typewriter song for letters?
Maybe sometime.
We could try that and see if it passes through, if YouTube will let us do that. But again, great job on the show. I'm looking forward to more to come. Love, PT. I added love.
I think there have been Partisan scenarios somewhere where they've SSR'd out the stealth.
Yes.
Probably.
Yes. And some troops are 527s.
Probably in Holland because they have those wooden shoes.
Yes.
And it's very hard to be stealthy.
Yeah, I didn't see any Lowe's in Amsterdam. Shoes. Oh.
You didn't?
Nope.
No.
And you didn't buy a pair?
Nope. But you know what time it is now?
No.
What?
You've been.
playing lately. What's in what you've been playing lately?
What you've been playing lately? I'll take that scenario right there.
This one here?
Well, Mike Rizzi and I have started Woodland Pursuit.
Speaking of Partisans.
You remember it? Did you like it, Mike, or so far?
So we're barely into it, really.
But what's cool about it?
It's got lots of partisans.
Always makes it cool. What about dogs?
It has dogs, yes. Remember?
It does. It's got dogs?
Not a counter.
But
a rule. Oh.
Two of the units have anti-partisan sniffing capabilities.
Are they King Charles Spaniels?
No. They should be.
They should be.
I mean, by your experience, you would think so. Yes,
yeah.
I understand, but
because they bark.
Yes.
At least yours barks.
At you. So at you're me. A partisan. See,
maybe. Yeah.
So it yes. But anyway, it unconceals the units.
How'd you pick this scenario?
We just quickly picked one.
Yeah. I like the Grumble Jones pack. We're going to do our drawing for that next.
Yeah.
So just grab this one. We thought it could fit into a one or two session game.
Yes. Yeah. And who's partisan? I'm the partisan. Mike is partisan. Yeah.
And he's all concealed. And then he has to pop up and he moved quickly, very quickly. Initially, he's got to get off the board.
Off the board, yeah.
And he can search buildings for supplies. And I can search them first. And so he really surprised me by moving so quickly. I didn't realize they only paid $1.50 for woods.
$1.50 in the woods, yeah.
Well, I'm like, oh no, he's cheating, but I don't want to say anything. I want to say you're a cheater.
Well,
yeah. Okay, you can move $1.50 in the woods because you're my friend. And then I realized it's in the rules.
And I'm sorry, I kind of blew through that. What do the dogs do for you?
They
help you search.
I have to move them.
If they move adjacent to the partisans that are concealed, it unconceals them.
Or hidden.
Oh.
Or hidden, because all the partisans start hip, even though they're the ones that are maneuvering to get off the board.
Yeah.
They start hip.
Okay.
And then you kind of surprise.
So the Germans have the dogs.
Yeah.
The Germans have
like two squads.
That's right.
And they're kind of, so I'm using
them a little slow
in a spot to turn up some concealment. And then I think I'm falling back okay. I can put a picture of the current game up and
you opted to go and root out those supplies in the buildings.
I spent some time searching these buildings.
Yeah.
Because I can take away his supplies or he can pop up with a partisan.
Because all the partisans start low ammo. So
I see.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So and that's why I thought that Kermit Mullins did a good job of getting on these fun little gaming rules. And as I mentioned when we did the review of all these scenarios a couple shows ago. But I have a picture. I'll put it up. It's on. I didn't put it on Twitter yet either. But
I don't know if it's worth talking about what Mike and I played.
It is. It is because you've been playing something lately.
We have. Right. And Mike came up with this great idea. We kind of wanted to refresh ourselves. You know how some people reread the rule book every year? I really need to do that, but I didn't want to do that. And Mike said, let's start basic.
So we went back to the Pacific with caves, air support, and paratroopers.
Yes.
That's
and
right.
I ran. No. Mike said, let's start with the starter kit scenarios. We're playing full rules, and we just thought, what the heck, we'll play full rules and with the starter kit scenario. So we've been through two of them and it's been good. It's coming back to me. Yeah. Because I had taken a break from the game for a little bit.
So. Who won?
That's important. Jeff can say.
It's very important.
Mike won both times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I did some dumb things. And I'll blame it on the dice.
Jeff does that on purpose because he likes to let people win.
Yeah. But it's been very fun. So we'll keep you up to date. As I'm sure we'll branch out into some other things and have more to report in the near future.
Yeah.
I'd consider taking one of our Wednesday Star Wars nights and making it a passel again.
Yeah, we could do that.
We can do that.
Play short, quick games once a month and invite back some of the gentlemen who may not care about us anymore. But so that's what we've been playing lately. All right. And now it's time for drawing our winner of the Grumble Jones pack volume number one.
The entire thing?
The entire thing.
Whoa.
Included is the scenario just discussed by us. And we have 10 entrants into the contest, and Jeff is going to roll a die.
I'm
going to
roll a D10. This is from rolladvantage.com. Thank you. Thanks to them for this. I won't show you the, I won't bother showing you the screen. No. I'll just click roll here. I got a D10 loaded up, roll. And the final result is 12. No, it's 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Dave Grennan. Dave, you are the winner of the Grumbly Jones pack. Send this us is your address lucky and we'll day. Get that right out to you. And then our next contest is, what do we have, Mike? Coming show the next. Studio audience what we have, Mike.
A lovely Schwerpunkt.
Schwerpunkt. And was this for two Schwerpunkts? For both Schwerpunkts?
We only have one left, and that's 12. But we do have another product to put with it.
As a bonus.
Ah.
As a bonus.
Point.
Starter kit, special study 2. Now, probably you two want to keep that and then try playing those too. But can't, right? You're going to give it away, aren't you? Yeah. So whoever joins this contest can keep the Schwerpunkt if you're an experienced gamer, give away the starter kit to a beginner friend, or vice versa.
Great way to meet people is give them a starter kit, a scenario pack.
Absolutely is, or keep them both for yourself, or sell them on eBay. I think they go for $58
each. And then send the money to charity.
Yes. So send us.
Send us an email.
Send us Rally Point and Schwerpunkt. How about send us an email with the subject line saying point and punked.
Point and punked. Okay.
Yeah. Bye.
Point and punked.
It's April.
It's April 8th today. This will go out. 15th. It's April 30th, huh? You think that's too long?
No.
April 30th.
April 30th. Get that done.
30 days or, half April.
Or May Day. We'll take it by May Day, May 1st.
Okay.
Right. We'll be recording right around then, I hope. There might only be one show this month.
And if it's later, you know, if you do send it in and it's later than May Day, just if you slip us $10, we can be bought. And if you really want to win, slip us $20. We'll make sure the dice rolls in your favor. Rizzy can't do that. You can't participate in that because you are
now an employee.
Officer of the court or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of, the two F squads is brought to you by Bounding Fire Productions, maker of fine ASL products. Available at their website. We have a link posted there. They have a new product coming out, which is?
Yes, coming soon from Bounding Fire, Bitterest Day. Bitterest Day sends players into Okinawa fighting through the mountainous terrain. It includes 9 action-packed scenarios, 1 full sheet of counters depicting more units, weapons, vehicles, and planes that are depicted in the scenarios, and 1 historical ASL map sheet, which represents the historical situation in Okinawa. So that should be fantastic. We're looking forward to that, whenever that happens.
Certainly are.
So go to boundingfire.com, learn more.
And now it's time for rules.
It's time for rules. You need the rules to play the game and put your opponents to shame. They might seem hard, but that's okay. We're gonna learn them anyway. Rules.
All righty, it's quiz show.
Oh,
well, dang. It's rules show. As a quiz show. So, the first question, gentlemen, you don't have to ring in. Does Italian ordinance, today we're doing the Italians and the Finnish in honor of our song, do the hakapale and turn yourself around. Does Italian ordinance use the red or black to hit numbers?
Yes.
No, that was an and or question.
I will say red.
Red is correct, Mike.
I'll say black then. Not to be contrary, but...
Black is wrong.
Okay.
Elite squads. What are the statistics on the elite squads and half squads? Firepower, range, morale.
Elite Italians?
Mm-hmm.
Squads.
Mm-hmm. And half squads.
Well...
And half squads? You're asking a lot.
Yes.
Wow. I would put on my thinking cap, but I don't want to mess up my good coiffure. All right, let me think.
I'll let Jeff think.
No, you can go.
Five.
I don't remember offhand.
Okay.
5, 6, 8.
No.
I'm going to say
Italians.
I'm going to say.
Oh, sorry.
This is 5.
Did I get that right?
Okay, this is in the days before LFT put out the magazine with all the upgraded Italian troops that they felt are more realistic.
Yeah.
I will say 448.
Oh, lower on the last one. 447s. All right. And their half squads, Jeff, are
2, 4, 6s.
You can look at me while sevens? I give you the answers.
Oh, you're giving me the answers. Oh yeah. You're giving me the answers right on the screen there.
And the crews are 227s. And now, question: may the first line Italians, may they deploy? I know it's been a long time since we played the town.
It is.
But also,
may they deploy?
I will say yes.
I'll say no.
Jeff is correct. It's a no.
Well done.
May the elite Italian squads deploy?
Yes.
I'll say yes.
It's a no.
It's a no. Wow. Okay. Wow, it has been a long
time. They can't deploy, but there are exceptions to deploying. Now, I think you're going to remember these from Rich Bilkey. What are the exceptions? Okay, so the Russians can't deploy either. So what are those cases when they can?
Splitting when you get a prisoner.
That's one. The other is when
the
squad shoots the other half of the squad in their own squad, and then they're now a half squad.
Ah, yes. All right.
Oh.
They've deployed.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, that's considered deployment?
Yeah.
Okay.
You just declare that they're committing harakiri on half the squad. And then down to it. It's when you want to take a tank, become a crew in a tank. You can jump in.
Yes.
You can split.
Right.
Oh, okay.
I think there's also Sangar in there to take a Sangar, but I didn't see it in the exceptions in this particular rule book I was accessing. Did you know that a 447, which suffers ELR, goes down to a 346? Did you know that?
Sure,
I do know.
Well, that's a fact. Yeah,
I didn't.
First line squads. Think about the first line. Wait, 3, 4, 6. Okay. Anyway, what are the stats on a first line squad? Firepower?
4.
3.
3 is correct.
Just a 3.
Range?
4.
4.
4 is correct. And their morale is a 7.
7.
Yeah. What do they represent in history in the Italian army? And I think it has like a feather in the hat, kind of cap on the helmet, and starts with a B. What's the name for those units in the Italian army that starts with a B?
Boiardi.
Yes, it's the Chef Boiardis. Bersaglieri. Which were light infantry transported by trucks and motorcycles and or bicycles. And a 347, which suffers a ELR failure, is replaced by a conscript and not a lower quality first line squad. So are there two quality first line squads? While a conscript squad that battle hardens becomes a 346. So I'm going to have to get out the tray
that's
over
just
there.
That's just what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I'm going to go home and tiptoe through my Italians.
Do it. So, surrender. Now, you may have heard that there could be a +1 close combat dynamo modifier for a capture attempt of a squad. You know, okay, close combat. I just want to kill him. You just roll the dice. But if you want to capture him, you have to add a +1.
Right.
Does that apply versus non-elite Italian defenders?
Where are you getting these questions?
Right out of rule 25.63.
Wow. Against elite?
Non-elite.
I will
say yes.
It does.
Yes.
So therefore, it's easier to capture them.
Right. Yeah.
Once captured, no Italian unit will attempt escape. That's just a fact.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those arguments that were being made about the Italian army.
Right.
That LFT made a good case for.
Yes.
And other historians, but lax units. Are non-elite Italian units lax?
I'll say yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes is correct.
Yeah.
And do they use laxatives?
Only as necessary.
That is correct.
They use as directed. Which is really good. Good of them.
Kind of rule followers.
Yeah.
And Patsy. Pete, for those of you who don't call it a Patsy, because that's a local.
I call it a pizza.
Some people call it a P-A-A-T-C. Oh, yeah. And when I was in Europe and I got all these pictures at the Hartenstein Museum, the one by the Hartenstein Museum, of all the weapons from World War II, I would take the pictures and text them to Dave, send them to Dave Timonen. What weapon is this? You'd have to try to remember Panzerfaust, Panzer Schreck, Piat, you know, and it was a lot of fun.
Hmm.
What machine gun type is this? Do Italians have to pass a I don't even know what PATSY stands for. Pre-armor advanced test. Oh, well. To attack a tank in close combat, do they have to pass a PATSY?
Yes.
And non-elite Italian troops, they must pass a one PATSY or a normal PATSY? Non-elite.
I think they have to pass a kidney stone.
It's because of all those accidents.
Yes. I'll say a one.
Yeah, it's a one.
Yep.
Now, there have been exceptions to a lot of those rules I just read.
Oh, great.
It's Eritreans. So the Eritrean units are treated as Italian. And these are units that came out in Soldiers of the Negos long ago. Critical Hit.
Yep. That's right.
And Dave Timmon and I played all. That was his first series with me.
Mm-hmm.
And now they are issued now with the new.
With the Halloween.
Yeah. The reissue.
Yes.
Yes.
Too many games.
Too many.
So Eritrean units are treated as Italian, except, as stated otherwise here, the Eritrean 347 squads and their 137 half squads that suffer ELR failure are replaced by a second line MMC, not a conscript, and become fanatic when they battle hard. An Eritrean first line MMC and one which suffers ELR failure is disrupted. So, are the Eritreans also lax?
I'm going to say no, if I remember that.
I will say no.
No is correct.
Yes.
And do they use laxatives?
They don't need to.
No.
That's right.
They have a good fiber diet.
Yeah, that's right.
High fiber.
And must they pass a one PATSY or a normal PATSY?
Normal
is correct.
Yes.
So, can heat of battle transform an Eritrean MMC into an Italian MMC?
No.
Or vice versa?
No.
Can ELR replacement transform an Eritrean MMC to an Italian MMC?
Yes.
No.
Or vice versa?
Yes.
No.
I'm tired of saying no. Right, so I'm going to stick with yes.
Okay.
Well, then you'll like this next question.
Okay.
All right.
Finnish units on to the Finns.
On the Finns.
The Finnish personnel right up there. I should have moved my Macapale painting behind me. Finnish personnel. They may attempt to self-rally during any rally phase, and they are immune to countering. Isn't that the coolest?
It is.
Are there conscript squads also attempt self-rally and immune to countering?
No.
No is correct, Jeff. Oh, but that wasn't... I just made that question up because the next one was supposed to be yes.
Oh,
yes.
I just took an exception. I saw on the page and I made it into a question on the spur of the moment. So
Very impressive.
Question is supposed to be, are elite Finnish squads stealthy?
No.
Yes.
Are the first line Finnish squads?
I hope people are listening and learning, taking notes and scratching stuff up. Jeff said yes. Oh, no, it's no. Scratch that.
So how about those first line Finns? Are they stealthy?
Yes, I think so.
Yes.
Yes.
Are the Finnish elephants that move through bamboo? Are they stealthy?
Finnish elephants.
Yes, of course they are.
No, because it's the bamboo. It's crunchy.
Right. Crunchy bamboo. Why didn't we think of that?
Yeah, right.
I thought that Finnish bamboo was the soft kind.
Our conscript Finn squads stealthy.
No.
Now, did you know that all Finnish units are ski capable?
Yes.
I think I did know that.
No, you did not know it. You're both lying. Okay. Leaders.
Oh, yeah. I've known that for years.
Yes, they all are. Even the conscripts, because, you know.
They're all born with skis.
Yep.
Yeah. That's right.
Lead, with them. Rule 25.71. Leaders. Finnish units usually take a less severe leader loss morale check or leader loss fast check.
Mm-hmm.
The most severe being a 1 morale check or 1 task check. But why? Why don't they take a 2 morale check if they have a 7, 8, 9, 9, 2 liter?
Because there is no 9, 9, 2 liter.
That is correct. That is correct.
Oh, it's a trick question.
Trick question.
That's right.
1 per night. There it is. Yes. We can relax now.
Finnish leaders have a unique rank structure descending in order as follows. 10, neg 1. 10-0, 9-1, 9-0, 8-0, and an 8+1.
Hmm.
That is another fact.
Hmm.
Are Finns eligible for field promotion? Well, what is field promotion? Do you remember?
Rolling snake eyes in melee.
That is correct. And then yes. You can get a leader.
Get a better.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. But that is only on Tuesdays. So you're wrong. In addition to deploying normally, a squad may deploy without a leader by passing a 1 task check instead of a normal. That's just true. And then is a leader required in order to recombine 2 half squads into a squad? Do you need a leader to do that?
For Finns? No.
For Finns?
No.
No, they get free recombine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Battle hardening. Finnish leaders. Teaching moment. Battle hardened and are replaced according to that unique Finnish rank structure we saw. Mm-hmm. The 8+1 leader cannot be replaced and therefore disrupts.
Mm-hmm.
The progression for all Finnish MMC subject to replacement is shown on that chart I read. All Finnish MMC that battle hardened follow the reverse order, of course.
Yeah,
going up. And a Finnish first line MMC that battle hardens becomes fanatic. And an unarmed Finnish MMC that becomes rearmed is replaced with a conscript of its size. Unarmed. So yeah, they pick up the weapons with that more than a hex.
Yeah.
Are Finnish troops sissies?
Yes.
Can we say sissy anymore?
Well, depends on your pronunciation.
You mean sissy?
That would be the word.
Oh, sissy. S-I-S-S-I. Remember that?
Oh. Jeff?
What are the stats of a CC squad, the highest squad of the Finnish Army?
7 or 8?
8.
Okay.
Firepower?
Ooh, 8 firepower.
Remember, these came out with the Germans.
Yes, right. The new.
The old, the first. Yeah, right. They are.
Yeah.
Remember?
Mm-hmm.
So, 8.58s.
Close. Submachine guns.
Not
rifles.
8.48s.
Closer.
3.8s.
8.38s.
8.38s.
It's like the German assault engine.
Okay. Right. Okay.
And they have a 338 half squad. So are the CC elite units?
Yes.
Yes, they're considered elite. Were they handpicked and specially equipped?
Well, sure.
Yes, it says that right in the rule.
Yes. So it's a rule.
Were they, were they sitting on a tree in an orchard when they were handpicked? I know, that's a hard one. Because they're handpicked.
Let's say
they had to be somewhere.
I think it was a hollow tree.
Probably. Well, so can the Finnish first line use flamethrowers and DCs as if they're elite?
Yes.
Yes, they can.
Very good.
Captured equipment. Finnish personnel may use Russian machine guns. And Russians can use the Finnish machine guns without captured use penalties. May a Finnish elite and first line MMC use a Panzerfaust as if they were Germans?
Yes,
they may, because they're giving them lots of those.
Right.
Except, as noted otherwise, the availability of the Panzerfaust begins when? I don't expect anyone to know this.
The Finnish Panzerfaust available in...
From the Germans in what year? How about year?
Let's do 44.
You are correct.
That's what I was thinking, June of 44.
And that's darn close, 744.
Okay.
Yeah. And the range is only one hex, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but now, a unit making a final Panzerfaust check, die roll, less than or equal to 2, has a Panzerfaust and an opportunity to fire it, just like all Panzerfausts. All non-date dependent Panzerfaust check die rolls apply normally to them, and the total number of their shots in any scenario cannot exceed how many? I wouldn't expect to know this either, but usually it's like equal to the squad, equal to the squad, 1.5 or double.
Right. But for Finns, it's special.
No, it's one of those three.
Oh. It's one per squad.
1.5.
1.5.
Mm-hmm. Late in the war, I guess the Germans were giving them around.
It is because it's 44.
And then the Panzer Schreck. Now, Finnish personnel can only use a Panzer Schreck in scenarios set in, well, we kind of did that, like 44 or 45. Do Finnish second line and green conscript personnel use all Panzer Schrecks with captured use penalties? Do the really lowest of the Finns have to use captured use for those Schreckers?
That kind of makes sense.
Yes, they do.
OBA, Finnish OBA batteries, they have a draw pile of 6 black and 3 red chits. And then they can vary by the year. So you want to check that on your list. And lastly, do Finnish ordnance use red or black to hit numbers?
Black.
I would have thought so.
But
black.
Red, it said.
Really?
Yeah. I thought, yeah, trained by the Germans. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you would think so. They've been fighting forever.
Right.
But it says red. And that is...
I refuse to play that. Play it that way.
That is the nationalities of the Italians and the Finns.
Ay, caramba.
No, Rancho
Cucamonga. Yeah, that's right.
So I guess that'll be a show, huh?
I'd call it.
All right.
Let's wrap it up.
Mike, thanks for coming by.
Always happy to be here.
It's always great to have you.
Thank you.
And remember to roll low.
And rally well.
Except when you're playing
us. Not when you're playing us.
What if we're all playing each other? That's still us.
Oh, wait.
How does that work?
Oh, man, you're making it more complicated.
Yeah.
So, three of us. Sure. I guess. What if two of us?
I guess if there's an SSR...